StPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the Big C offices located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support, as well as everyone working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of their help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you will learn that it is my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play here in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to talk with some very interesting people, and I've made a lot of new friends in the process, so it's been great. So before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website associated with today's program while listening, you can visit habitatpinellas.org. And you can also follow us live, so we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. So it's a pleasure to welcome my guest back to the show for the second time, Mr. Michael Sutton, the Chief Executive Officer for Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County. Welcome to Job Talk, Mike.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate you having me back again.
Yeah, it's been a while since you were here last. How you been?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun last time, so I'm glad I'm back on.
Great. So for the new listeners to Job Talk who may not have heard your last interview, sure, please give us a little history on yourself up until the time you assumed your current position as CEO. So let's begin with Mike. Where are you from?
Yeah, so I was born up north, New Jersey. But as a young child, my family moved down to the Tampa Bay area and settled up in North Tampa. At the time, it was a lot of cow pastures, and now it's all built out. So, but my immediate family all still lives here, and so grew up in North Tampa. Went to Gaither High School, and then went on to the University of South Florida.
All right. And what did you study there?
I studied criminology, although I changed my majors a few times. Took me a little bit over 5 years to get through school, but it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't change any of it, and learned so much along the way.
It's a good school, that's for sure.
Great school. Yeah, we lost our head coach today, in football, but we'll make through it. So,
okay. So after you graduated, what did you do?
So my first job right out of college, I actually went to work for my college fraternity. Believe it or not. I moved to Indianapolis for 2 years and traveled around the country and went to various universities, spent about 4 to 8 weeks at a time on these university campuses, basically starting one of my fraternity campus chapters from scratch. So I traveled with another gentleman, and it was a great experience because we got to see parts of the country we would have never seen.
Mm-hmm. And so how long did you do that?
2 years. Okay. 2 years. And then one of the locations that we actually visited was in Texas, College Station, Texas, which is the home of Texas A&M University, and kind of fell in love with the area. It was coming from a larger city, Tampa, and the Tampa Bay community. It was a little bit different for me, so a little bit of a rural community. An hour from Houston, an hour from Austin, but yet still kind of had a small town feel. And so I think it was a different pace for me, and it was something I wanted to try out. So decided I was tired of living out of a suitcase and traveling for those 2 years. Yeah. I probably aged a little bit over those 2 years too, hanging out with a lot of college kids. So I decided that I just wanted to stay in Texas for a little bit, and I wasn't ready to go back to Florida. And so I just wanted to try it out a little bit.
Okay. And so what did you do there?
So I actually, in my time that I'd spent there, about 12 weeks actually in College Station, I got hooked up with Habitat for Humanity and did a little bit of volunteering work there on my downtime just to kind of pass some time. And they ended up having a position vacant there. And so one thing led to another, and I got hired on.
What was your first role there?
My first job was actually volunteer coordinator. So I coordinated volunteers for the builds, as well as in the office and the restore. I did that for a short 5 months. And then was promoted to their director of development.
And what was that role?
That role was really kind of being one of the faces of the organization, being out in the community, raising awareness, advocating for habitat and affordable housing, raising funds. That was a big part of my role, was raising the revenue so that we could serve more families.
Mm-hmm. And how many homes did you build when you were there?
We were building on average about 15 to 20 homes a year. So for a small market like College Station, it was huge.
Yeah.
Most small markets like that across the country where there's a habitat affiliate may build one or two homes a year. So we had amazing support from the local community and from the local businesses. And Habitat was such a huge need there as well.
Great. So how long were you with them at that time?
I was in Texas for 5 years with Habitat.
And then what did you do?
Got homesick. I missed the beaches. I missed family. I missed friends. I'm a huge sports fan, so I missed attending baseball games, football games, and all that kind of stuff. So one thing led to another, just decided to start kind of experimenting with the idea of moving back to the Tampa Bay area. And at that time, I think I applied for a couple positions, but I was contacted by a recruiter who was recruiting for a position with Big Brothers Big Sisters in Pinellas County, and started a conversation, some dialogue there, and one thing led to another, came in for some interviews, and was offered the job.
What was the first role that you had with them?
So it was an executive position there. So vice president of development, which I was later promoted to chief development officer and executive vice president. It's what got me back to the community and a mission that I felt pretty passionate about. Everyone in their life, regardless of how they grew up, had someone who played a mentor type role in their life. And so it was a mission I was able to kind of really grasp and something I felt passionate about.
Yeah, that's an organization myself I belong to as well.
And oh, great.
I had a great time. And my little is, it's been over 10 years, he's now about 23.
Oh, wow. my little just turned 16 and he's driving. And so that's scary.
Yeah.
he moved up to Illinois to be with his mother. And nice. So he was raised by his grandparents, but he's now with his mother, which is great. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of fortunate that I'm not the one having to teach him how to drive.
Great. So how long were you with him?
I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very stable. It sounds like it's 5 years there.
Yeah.
5 years there.
So you know, I'm seeing a pattern.
Yeah. That's a good pattern too. And so anyway, so then what did you do after that?
Yeah. So, I wasn't necessarily looking to leave Big Brothers Big Sisters. My CEO, who was probably one of the individuals I learned the most from in my career, was, starting to talk about retirement. And at the same time, our organization was looking to merge with the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization across the bay in Tampa. And so there was a lot of not uncertainty, but just, you know, a lot of probably more opportunity for everyone than anything. And at that time, I received a phone call. I received a phone call from the board chair of Habitat for Humanity in Pinellas County. And she had stated that she heard about my background with Habitat in Texas, and that they were conducting a search for a new CEO and wanted to visit with me. And so, you know, I feel like any good opportunity, you always have to kind of see what's going on in the world. So quite frankly, between you and I and everyone listening, I actually thought it would be really good practice for me to go through the interview process, regardless of how far I got, because my CEO at Big Brothers Big Sisters was retiring, and I thought it might be a good next step for me. Sure. Her and I were doing some succession planning and kind of positioning me to be a candidate for that role. But you know, I always loved the Habitat mission, and I grew up in a very fortunate household. Where we didn't, my parents, especially my mother, was always ensured that my sister and I had food on the table. You know, we grew up in a very privileged household, and so Habitat, the thing that really struck a chord with me was the fact that you know, we're providing these families the opportunity to kind of break a cycle that has impacted their family for generations.
Wonderful. And so obviously you took the job.
Yeah, took the job. And we're coming up on 3 years now being the CEO there. So it's been, I have not regretted a day. You know, friends laugh at me because I tell them that as I pull into the parking lot every day to start my work day, there's not a day that I'm not excited to go into the building. So, and I think that that's what life's all about. There's a lot of people out there that are in roles that maybe they're not too happy about, or they're not enjoying. And I think life's too short to not find a passion and something where if you're going to spend, you know, half your day working, you might as well do something that you enjoy.
That's great. And so I want to tell people about some of your credentials, because you really have some unique, some background too, besides the graduating from USF. You received your certificate in fundraising management, right? Through Indiana University Center. Yeah. Back in 2001. So tell us about that certificate and what do you have to do to achieve it?
Well, I will say first that my degree from University of South Florida is probably my proudest achievement in my entire life and career. I'm a first-generation college grad, and I take that very seriously, and it's something I feel really good about. And so, I think college for me was probably not easy. I struggled as a student. And so, it's something that, you know, every day I'm thankful that I had that opportunity. Yeah. My opportunity with the with Indiana University for the certificate in fundraising management actually came along through Habitat for Humanity. So when I was in Texas, there was an opportunity presented for Habitat executives to go through their program. And so it was a series of five classes. Most of the classes were anywhere from 3 to 5 days in length. And all the classes focused around the fundraising arm of the philanthropic community. And so I went through all those classes, finished all those classes, and then was awarded my certificate at completion.
Wonderful. And then also, in addition to that, you're a CFRE, which stands for a Certified Fundraising Executive.
Uh-huh.
And you just got that about 5 years ago as well. So tell us about that program.
That entails. So that credential is one that is awarded to individuals in the fundraising sector who have put in a number of years. So I think the requirement was 8 to 10 years in the fundraising sector. And in addition to that, it's a very lengthy process to go through. You take an exam, probably the hardest test I've ever taken in my life. It was a pass-fail. And so there's less than 4,000 people worldwide that have that designation.
Wow.
It's definitely something that's helped to validate my career and validate the work that I've done, and very proud of that as well.
How long has it been around?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. For quite a while. I know there's a number of individuals that serve as mentors to me that, you know, have retired, and they have their designation and have had it for 30, 40 years. So I'm assuming the organization's been around for quite a while.
And so it must take a lot of, I mean, it must be very difficult to achieve that if there's only 4,000 after that period of time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I know, you know, you're not going to mention it, but you're also honored as an up-and-comer through the Tampa Bay Business Journal in 2010.
Yeah.
So congratulations
Feels
on
so
that.
Feels so long ago, but yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so thank it you. Looks like they were right on that one. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, you know, you're a member of some great organizations in addition to Habitat for Humanity. So perhaps you could tell us about them, beginning with the Nonprofit Leadership Center. You know, what's that all about?
Sure. So the Nonprofit Leadership Center is based over in West Shore, and it serves basically the Tampa Bay community and the nonprofit sector specifically. So they provide education and training to individuals who work in the nonprofit sector, but then they also provide training for board members, so people who donate their time to nonprofits. I've been very fortunate that I've had individuals I've reported to in my career who have invested in me and have seen the importance of education. And so the Nonprofit Leadership Center provided me the opportunity to give back a little bit. So I serve on their board of directors have, you know, become an advocate for the work that they do. They kind of fly under the radar a little bit, but it's very much needed in our community.
That's great. And also you're a member of the Clearwater Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Yeah. I just finished my first year on their board of directors. Okay. And you know, I'm really passionate about our community, which is why I moved back here, obviously. I had the opportunity to serve on their board of directors and help to, you know, promote and advocate for the city of Clearwater, which is where I live. And at the same time, the city of Clearwater is going through, a lot of there's a lot of opportunities there with the development of the golf the front along the intercoastal, and so it's an exciting time to be a part of their board.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Yeah, it is.
And finally, you're also very active with the Valspar Championship. So tell people what that's about.
Yeah, I got involved with the Valspar Championship presented by BB&T a few years back. It's the PGA Tour event that comes through Pinellas County, played at Innisbrook every March. And I serve as a copperhead. And there's about 110 individuals, business leaders in our community that serve as copperheads. And they're basically the nonprofit arm that runs the tournament and promotes the tournament. So we do everything from volunteering during the week of the tournament to helping to recruit sponsors, advocate and inform the community about the tournament. And the great thing about it is just this past year, the tournament gave $2 million worth of money back to the community through supporting, I think it's something like 70 plus charities. And so Habitat has actually been one of those that has benefited from their support. And it's just an all around great event that goes on.
When is it held?
It'll be the first week of March.
Great.
Yep.
So that everyone listening, they can look out for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful. Also, and the final thing I want to talk about with regard to this is the Leadership Pinellas County Class of 2015. You were a part of that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So did you have a special project that you worked on?
Our group, we had about 40 individuals in our class, and I think we had five different projects. So my group of eight, we were in charge of doing some rehabilitation work to the Boys and Girls Club Royal Theater in Midtown, in South St. Pete. So we went in for a day and spruced the place up a little bit. It's a place where kids spend, their afternoons after school. And we felt like we could, help to make it a little bit, more open and friendly and that kind of thing for the kids.
That's great. And so I know that the different chambers have leadership opportunities as mm-hmm. well, but how can somebody go through the program with Pinellas County?
Yeah, I think just visit their website. I think it's leadershippinellas.org, and you can find out information there. I had an employee who just went through the Leadership St. Pete program, which is put on through the St. Petersburg Chamber, and she wonderful reviews of that and learned a lot. And we've actually seen a difference in her performance at the office as well because of that. So.
That's great. So my guest today is Mike Sutton, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County. And so, Mike, let's talk about Habitat for Humanity and your role as chief executive officer. Can you give us some history on the organization, like how it started and by who, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So Habitat for Humanity, the international organization, started in 1976. So it's been around for 40 years. Here locally in Pinellas County, we began in 1985. So we're 31st anniversary this year. But on a international scale, it was started by a gentleman, Millard Fuller, and his wife, Linda. And, you know, the concept and the idea behind Habitat is that it brings individuals from the community together to help a family in need by providing them with affordable housing. We see studies and we read about the growing difference between poverty and the wealthy, and Habitat serves a population that does not qualify for government subsidies. And they wouldn't qualify for a traditional mortgage. So they're kind of left in balance and in limbo there. And so with Habitat, we provide them the opportunity to own their own home.
That's great. How many chapters are throughout the country?
There's more than 1,400 Habitat affiliates throughout the United States. And we actually just got rankings a couple weeks ago. And based on new homes completed, we're the 12th largest out of 1,400 here in Pinellas County.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so do you also build homes outside the country?
We do. Habitat International is in 70-plus countries worldwide. Our particular affiliate here in Pinellas County participates in a Home for a Home program. And what that is, every time we build a home in Pinellas County, we tithe. So Habitat was started under the Christian beliefs. And so we tithe on every home that we build. So we send about $4,500 per house to Habitat International to build a house in one of our sister affiliates. So we partner with Habitat in Guatemala and Habitat in Malawi, Africa. And so we built not only, 30-plus homes here last year, but we also built 30-plus homes internationally.
Wow, that's great. You don't think of it that way. I mean, it's really surprising what you're telling us. And so tell us, though, a little bit about some of the misconceptions that people might have about Habitat for Humanity.
Well, there's always the one that people think that this is Jimmy Carter's charity. He's our CEO or the founder. We've been very fortunate that President Carter is our most famous volunteer and an individual that helped really legitimize Habitat in the 80s and the 90s. And he's still active today. So at 90 plus years.
Wow.
Old, he still comes out and swings a hammer with Habitat. The big misconception that we deal with on a regular basis is that we give away homes. If there's one thing that someone takes away from this program today, I hope it's the fact that they learn that Habitat for Humanity does not give away free homes. All of our homeowners partner with us and they purchase the home. So Habitat offers them a 0% interest mortgage, and that's really what makes Habitat unique. So we're providing them with an affordable, simple, decent place to live. That they're building equity in, that they're giving back to the community. Our homeowners in just this past year, just signed the check actually, paid $398,000 in property taxes this year to Pinellas County.
Wow. So they're really contributing a lot.
Yeah, correct.
That's great. And so who qualifies for the home ownership program?
Yeah, so individuals or families that make between 30 and 80% of the area median income would qualify for Habitat. And those ranges are actually on our website at habitatpinellas.org. Okay. So people can go on there and check that out. But basically if a family makes between 30 and 80%, and they're willing to go through our program and, go through the classes. So we offer 20 education classes to our families that are a requirement. In addition to that, they have to put in between 250 and 350 sweat equity hours. So they're out working on our construction sites, swinging a hammer with our volunteers on Habitat homes as well as their own home. And then at the completion of the program, they purchase the home. So as long as they can afford the house and they are willing to partner with us and they qualify based on their income, then they can get into the Habitat program.
Wow. And do they apply online or how do they apply?
Yeah, the best way to do it is online. So there's a pre-application questionnaire that they can get on our website. They punch in some information. It's mostly financial information. And then from there, they're either told why they would not qualify or they're invited to complete an entire application.
Okay. And how do they make the decision on who actually, you know, gets through the program?
Yeah. So, well, majority of it is through the application, okay. But we have a third party committee. It's comprised of about 30 individuals. It's called our Homeowner Services Committee, and they actually are the ones that screen the applications. So it's not actually our staff that do it. Okay. Our board has the final say. They vote on the applications that are recommended to them from the committee. But the committee does everything from screening the applications. They do a home visit to ensure that the folks are coming from a situation where they need a home. And so, you know, that's how they get through that program.
Great. And so how many new homes are you on pace to construct this year?
Oh, so this year we've experienced some great growth, and it's really a testament to the investment we've received from the community that really steps up to support Habitat. But we are on pace to build 54 homes this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's up, what, over 100% over the last 3 years?
Yeah. So we about 3 years ago had come off of about five straight years where we built 25 homes a year. And so we're up over 100% now. So
and that's under your leadership there, Mike. That's great. Congratulations.
We have a great team, amazing team, a wonderful executive team. And our board of directors, you know, really kind of leads the charge. So
where are you building right now?
All throughout Pinellas County. Yeah. We have projects under construction from Tarpon Springs to South St. Pete. We just broke ground on a 6-home I don't want to call it a subdivision, but just a little parcel of property where we're going to build 6 homes in the Tyrone area of St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. We have 9 homes under construction in West Largo. And then we have homes being built all throughout Clearwater, St. Pete, Pinellas Park.
Great. So what are the biggest challenges you're facing right now?
You know, being in Pinellas County, which is the most densely populated county in the state of Florida, land is always a challenge for us. So finding affordable land, you take into account that 50% of the county is underwater. You know, we're in with the floodplain, you know, finding, we will never build a house in the floodplain. So, that eliminates half the county there. So we're always, struggling to find land. We're always constantly looking for land. So that's a big one. The other thing that we're challenged with right now is with the growth that we're experiencing as an organization, we're in desperate need of volunteers. Okay. And so it's one area of the organization that hasn't grown as fast as others. And you know, obviously when you have that rapid growth, 100% in less than 3 years, there's going to be some, growing pains along the way, and sure. That's one of them right now. So
and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the program as well. Yeah. So good. So can people sponsor a home?
Yeah, definitely. We always need financial support. We always need businesses, civic organizations, and individuals to step up and support Habitat. And and their donations by sponsoring a home help to build more houses in our community.
I want to talk about some of the programs you've put in place. You know, what is the Hammers and Heels program?
Something that you and I cannot participate in,
yeah.
But we have a all women build that we do once a year, and so we have one of our women site supervisor staff members who leads it, and so the entire home is constructed by women and women volunteers, and then it's also funded by women, and so the Hammers and Heels group is a group of about 120 women right now, and each of them contribute $500 to be a member of Hammers and Heels. We do a couple social events throughout the year for them to network and that kind of thing. And then we build this house every year. So their funding, as it all comes together, helps to build a house in Pinellas County.
Wow. And they're not really necessarily from the construction industry, are they?
No. And that's what's great. You know, I think they really enjoy getting out on our site. It's very empowering. You know, it's something that teaches them basic construction skills. And so it's been neat to see some of the individuals from throughout the county get involved with that program.
And tell us about the Habitat Young Professionals.
Sure. So HYP, as we call it, is our young professional group, and they meet throughout the year, usually on about a monthly basis. They have social events. They have build days where they'll come out as a group and work on a habitat construction site. But they really serve as kind of those that next generation of leaders. And so they are getting involved with Habitat by advocating for us. They'll throw some fundraisers throughout the year. They have a Christmas bar crawl coming up. I believe it's next week. So they do different types of events throughout the year to raise awareness and raise some funds for Habitat. And then they give back by coming out on the site.
That's great.
Yeah.
And is there an age level for that?
Technically there is, but if you want to become a member, we'll sign you right up.
Perfect. Okay. And so what is Charity Navigator and their 4-star charity ranking about?
Yeah. So Charity Navigator is a watchdog group that was created years ago to just kind of monitor performance of nonprofits. So they look at expenses and they look at the efficiency of nonprofits in throughout the world. And Habitat Pinellas has been fortunate that we've received 10 straight years of being recognized as a 4-star charity. And that's actually an accomplishment that less than 1% of all nonprofits worldwide have received. And so it's a testament to the amazing work that our board does and our staff does on a management day-to-day basis. And we're very fortunate to have that.
That's great. And tell us about Restore. You know, what is it and how many locations are there?
Sure. So our Restore, we have 2 locations. We have one on 49th and Ulmerton in Clearwater, just south of the jail. And we have a second one in Palm Harbor on US 19, just south of Tampa Road. And both locations are a retail arm of what we do. And basically it's a thrift store meets Home Depot, if you will. So you can find anything that you would find use for in the home in our Restores. So it's new and gently used items, everything from furniture to toilets, sinks, electrical supplies, lumber, tile, pretty much anything you can imagine for the home. We sell it.
Yeah, and it's great quality too. I bought a chair from there. It really is, and you've got all the plumbing supplies, and it's like going to a little flea market as well.
You never know what you'll find, and we have some amazing partners that, especially from the brand new standpoint, you know, they'll donate closeout items or scratch and dent items, and so you never know what you'll see in there.
So, can people donate household items there?
Yeah, definitely, and 100% of everything that we have in the Restores is donated. Okay. So the sale of all those items go back into helping to build more homes.
And will you pick those items up?
We will. They can call our Restore location and we can schedule a pickup. Right now it runs on about a 7 to 10 day lag. Nice. which means we're getting a lot of donations.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so also, what else can people donate besides household items?
At the Restore? Or just in general?
In general.
In general. You know, Habitat obviously runs on the support of the community. Mostly private donations is what makes up our support base. So the monetary piece is always huge for what we do. Mm-hmm. But people can donate their time. They can come out and volunteer with us. Whether it's on our construction site, which is typically when someone thinks about volunteering with Habitat, it's on the construction site. But we have opportunities throughout the organization that, you know, in our office.
But can they also donate like cars, boats, and things like
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We have a Cars for Homes program. Okay. And I would say we probably receive anywhere from 5 to 8 cars a month. And so those cars, it's literally a phone call. And the organization we partner with on that does all the paperwork. They pick up the vehicle. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And then the funds from the sale of that car will go back to Habitat.
And where do they sell the vehicles?
I'm assuming at auctions. Sometimes they're scrapped. You know, we get a lot of folks that you know, maybe call us because there's an estate sale or, you know, a parent has passed away. And so they have a 30-year-old Buick car that just needs to, you know, just needs moved.
Yeah.
And so so this organization will scrap it if it's not resellable.
And people can donate land?
They can donate land. Yeah, yeah. So
stocks and bonds?
Stocks, bonds, land, boats, cars. Yeah. So If someone has something they want to donate, we'll talk to them about it.
That sounds great. So you're listening to my guest today, Mike Sutton, the Chief Executive Officer of Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County. So, Mike, let's talk about jobs.
Sure.
And also, you know, I want to talk about your role there. So for those who might be, you know, looking to get into a similar role in the future, I'd like to start off by talking about your job as CEO. So what does a typical week look like for you?
It never looks the same.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. I think I have the best job in Pinellas County, working for an organization that I respect so highly. You know, my job is different every week. I spend a lot of my time out in the community, meeting with donors, meeting with volunteers, meeting with government officials, meeting with other nonprofit leaders, and really looking for opportunities for Habitat, looking for ways that we can partner, looking for ways that we can be a valuable part to the community. And so that's how I spend a majority of my time. You know, I also have the day-to-day management of the organization. And I mentioned earlier, and I can't say it enough, I'm surrounded by an amazing team. My philosophy has always been to never be the smartest person in the room. And if you're sitting in the room with my leadership team, you know that that's very true. So I've been fortunate to surround myself with some amazing people.
Great. Tell us about some of your most significant achievements since becoming CEO.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the culture that we've built at Habitat. You know, yes, we're a nonprofit, but I think it's also important that we invest in our team, invest in our employees. Our employees are our number one asset, and without our employees, we wouldn't be able to serve the families that we do. So we're very proud. We were actually recognized by the Tampa Bay Business Journal last year as one of the best places to work in Tampa Bay.
Great.
And we were the only nonprofit that made that list.
Wow.
And so I think that that's a true testament to the culture that we've built there. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably my number one is definitely the culture that we've built at Habitat. And then the second thing I would mention is the fact that it really, at the end of the day, comes down to the families that we serve. And so they're the reason that we're there. And so I think the accomplishment of being able to grow like we have, although it's scary at sometimes, you know, to grow 100% in 3 years, it's also very refreshing to know that families are benefiting from the Habitat program.
Great. So how many jobs have you actually added over the last, say, 18, 24 months?
Yeah, so great question. Over the last 24 months, we've actually added 15 new roles at Habitat. So as the organization has grown, we've done a lot of strategic thinking behind where do we need to invest as an organization. And so we've added 15 roles, and they vary. A couple of them are executive-level positions. A handful of them are office positions. A lot of them are construction roles. So people that are leading our projects out on the construction site. And so it varies all throughout the organization.
Great. And I understand you do have a need for some skilled construction staff on a permanent basis too, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about those jobs and the skills you're really looking for.
We're always looking for construction staff. You know, I think during the economic downturn, a lot of people who were considered skilled in the construction field decided to get out. You know, there was no jobs, there was no work, there was no construction being done. And so we've seen that continue, although it's changed a lot. And it's getting much better. We're always looking for skilled labor in construction. But at the same time, I think the most important trait that one of our construction supervisors needs is the ability to interact with people. And so 50% of the work that we do on a Habitat home is done through volunteer labor. And so that construction supervisor, although it's great if they can build a house from the ground up, they have to be able to work with someone like me, who's very unskilled when it comes to construction, to help provide me with a great experience so that I want to continue to come back and help Habitat.
And you're mentioning about the volunteers. So what are the available roles for volunteers in the organization, and how much time is required to volunteer?
You know, the time is really up to the individual. So if someone wants to volunteer on our construction site, which we're always in need of volunteers, you know, it's typically a 6-hour time commitment. You know, we'd like to see them come back on a regular basis, but that's really up to them. There's also opportunities to do things in our office, whether it's providing support to our staff, helping us on special projects. We have volunteers that help us with our special events. We put on a golf tournament and a gala every year. And so it takes, tens of volunteers for every one of those events. And we also have volunteer opportunities in our restore. So we need volunteers to go on the donation pickup runs with our staff and, to help sort donations and to stock the store and to help customers. And so there's roles for everyone, regardless of skill set.
Right. And when they work on some of the projects, they actually get some training, right?
They do. They do. You know, I think you learn every day when you're out on the construction site. You know, you may, even when it comes to stuff like, how to properly, paint or put landscaping in. You know, I mean, there's a technique behind everything. And so, if someone's looking to gain some skills around that, Habitat's a great place to do that.
So I always like to get my guest's opinion on the talent pool in the St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay area. And companies who are considering moving here are also interested in the local talent pool. So when you do have some open positions, are you able to find the talent you're looking for?
Yeah. I think one of the challenges we face as a market is keeping our talent here. I think because I don't want to get into the politics behind it, but because we struggle with public transportation, I think it's, there's cities that may be, more likely that people are going to move to than the Tampa Bay area. I think for us as a community, figuring out how we can keep talent in the Tampa Bay area and continue to provide them with opportunities for growth is going to be key.
Great. And that brings us to the interview tip of the week. So, Mike, if somebody wants to apply for a position at Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County, what one piece of advice would you give them?
I would say do your research, learn about the organization, come into that interview prepared, and tell us why you truly want to be a part of the mission of Habitat, not just looking for employment. But, I'm always shocked by the amount of people that come in and or we talk to for a phone screening and they don't even know that we're not a giveaway. And so, I think the research piece, regardless of where you're applying for a position, I think that's key.
Great. And are there any events coming up you want to talk about?
Yeah. So I'll plug our 400th build. In the 31 years we've been around, we've partnered with nearly 400 families, and we're actually breaking ground on our 400th home in about 2 months. And so that's going to be kind of a big endeavor for us. And it'll take individuals from throughout the community come out and help us to build that house.
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be in Clearwater, actually, in our 51-lot subdivision in North Clearwater.
And so if somebody today wanted to, volunteer for that or get, be part of that, can they do that online?
Are you
accepting applications now for that?
Yeah. So people can go on our website, habitatpinellas.org, and click on the volunteer link, and it'll walk them through how to sign up to become a volunteer with us.
Great. So now I always give my guests an opportunity to give some shout-outs. Anybody you want to give a shout-out to, Mike?
Let's see. Maybe my mother just retired about 6 months ago, so maybe she's listening, and I wouldn't be the person I am today without her love and support. So I'll give a shout-out to my mom. And at the same time, I'd love to, thank my staff for the amazing work that they do. It's a season of giving and season of being thankful. And so, we are just so blessed and fortunate to have some amazing individuals that call Habitat their work home.
Great. And if somebody would like to learn more about Habitat for Humanity in Pinellas County, how can they do that?
The best way is to go on our website, habitatpinellas.org, and they can find all kinds of information about how to volunteer, donate, become a homeowner candidate, and how to shop at our restore.
Yeah, that's great. You also have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. Habitat Pinellas.
Yeah, and I see all those new projects you're working on all the time on Facebook. That's really incredible, Mike. So listen, I really want to thank you for being here today, and thanks again for all you do for the community and its residents. And I hope we can do this again on an annual basis and look forward to receiving some alumni updates from you.
Yeah, awesome. That'd be great.
So anyway, you've been listening to my guest today, Mr. Michael Sutton, the Chief Executive Officer of Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County. And if you have construction skills or looking for a great organization to volunteer your time to, contact Habitat for Humanity, Pinellas County. You'll have a very rewarding experience. We'll be doing a lot of good in the community. And so now it's time for the Job Talk Alumni Update. Our friends at Voices of Hope for Aphasia are extending invitations to everyone to attend their 8th annual Holiday Hoopla on December 10th, this Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's being held at 3101 Beach Boulevard South in Gulfport, and there'll be lots of great art by people with aphasia. They'll be selling Mark Black CDs about living with the stroke and all that's involved there. And other great vendors and entertainment will be happening all day. Plus, the lighted boat parade starts at 6 p.m. So for more information, visit their website at vohaphasia.org. And the Heart Gallery of Pinellas and Pasco is having their first annual Heart Gallery Toy Drive. With the holidays right around the corner, the Heart Gallery is collecting and buying gifts for their children who might not otherwise receive any. So if you'd like to buy or donate a gift or have them do the shopping for you, check out their registry on their website, heartgallerykids.org. And they're also having an event tonight called Bingo for Charity, starting at 8 p.m. at Punky's Bar and Grill, located at 3063 Central Avenue in St. Pete. It's $10 bingo, and it's a great way to support local children living in foster care. So for more information, call 727-258-4806 or check out their website. And the Island Reporter reminds us of the St. Petersburg Second Saturday Art Walk, being held this Saturday, December 10th, from 5 to 9 p.m. You can visit about 40 studios and galleries in the five art districts. You know, if you haven't done this yet, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun and a great way to see what a talented art community we have here in St. Petersburg. So for more information, check out the website at theislandreporter.com. And now it's time for my shout-outs today. My first shout-outs go to Dan and Nina in California. Welcome back from your three-year stint in Morocco. It's glad to talk with you again, Dan. And to Maria and Jeff, hope you're enjoying your vacation in Mexico. Hope you take your next one here in Tampa Bay. And I hope that you'll all take the time to check out the Radio St. Pete website and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and there are new shows in production all the time. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, and you'll find some interesting and fun podcasts there, too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests as well. Plus, we're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at Job Talk Host. So I want to give special thanks, and I mean special thanks, to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did, and I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
Been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.